worship fully, to take some time in our preparation to remember the reason for this season, to remember that we are here to worship and to know that God is with us and among us, to spend less, that it doesn't take money to make things special, but just inviting God in to our everyday living. God takes the very ordinary and makes it extraordinary, like he took an ordinary stable and an ordinary manger and showed up in that place and made it something holy. Last week we talked about giving more, giving the way that God gave to us, not just giving from us, but giving of us, relational giving, giving a piece of ourselves to the people around us, and even daring us to give gifts that cannot and will not be reciprocated, as we could never give back to God the tremendous gift that God gave to us. And this week we talk about loving all, how this gift isn't a gift just for us, but for everyone, everywhere. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together in your name. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. May we, O God, hear your words spoken to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I was doing a sermon series, and one of those things you think is really clever at the time. But we were just going around the manger, you know, and just kind of looking at the people in Advent of who's there, who's at the stable. And as I began to do that, it's a theme started to arise. Not only but who's there, but who's missing. Let's talk about those that are there. Mary, an angel appears to Mary. How old was Mary? Got an idea? Yeah, 13, 14, 15, 16 would be old. An angel shows up to a teen, preteen girl and says, oh, you're going to have a baby, God's baby. And you think, we've heard that story so many times that we kind of just brush over that fact. But Mary, as a woman who has not yet been married, has little social status in her community. Her husband, not even husband yet, her fiancé, Joseph, what's he do for a living? Carpenter, labor, we're not sure really carpenter, the word that's used, we're not sure what it means, but he worked with his hands, you know, he was a craftsman of some kind, and not real high on the social strata. He was a worker, he's a blue-collar guy, you know, not a lot of status in the church at the time, but it's Joseph who is chosen to be the one to raise the baby Jesus. Shepherds out on the field with their flocks. We've got shepherds there. Shepherds, we romanticize shepherds a little bit. They didn't have that romantic reputation back then. They kind of lived on the edge of the law. Often they didn't make a whole lot of money, and so when they needed something they couldn't afford, oftentimes they would just go to the market and shoplift. They had that reputation anyway, and so the market owners would watch the shepherds really closely when they came into the store, and women would hold their purses a little tighter when they crossed a shepherd on the street. But they get to go. Wise men. They're not even Jewish. They don't belong there, right? And these are guys from another religion. And on top of them not being Jewish, how do they find out about Jesus being born? Astronomy. Don't discount that. I mean, they're stargazers, you know. They notice this star. And the Old Testament says to be careful of those who look to the stars. But these guys from another religion, they get to come. Where does all this happen? Bethlehem. Do you know where Bethlehem is? Just outside of Jerusalem. I mean, he just missed, right? Just missed being in the heart of it all. Bethlehem's just south of Jerusalem, just on the outside. And it happens, of course, not in the inn, but in a stable just outside. There's a theme. Do you get it? time that's central to the Christmas story is that Jesus doesn't come to the religious people. He doesn't go to Jerusalem. He doesn't get born in the temple. He doesn't show up with prophets and priests and Pharisees and Sadducees around, you know, the ministers of the day. They're not there. There's a young girl and her soon-to-be husband. Guys living on the edge of the law. Guys from another religion, and all of it happens just outside of where we would expect it to happen. Central to the Christmas message is the fact that it doesn't happen the way we thought it would happen. Jesus comes to the outsiders. Right from the beginning, there's this inclusion. That's why I love that video clip. That one gets me emotional like every time, and I'm not sure it's just the reading of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. I think it's NIV. I didn't really check it that good, but I think it's NIV. And it just appears in different languages, the story of Jesus' birth. And it's just a great reminder that it's not for us, but it's for all of us. I want to read to you just a portion of the story. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 and reading through verse 14. And I want you to have those ears of inclusion and let me know what you hear, beginning with verse 8. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep, and suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. And peace to all men and women on earth who please Him." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Tell me something you heard that's inclusion. Give me one. You guys aren't going to talk to me today? Come on. What's that? Worldwide. Everyone, everywhere, worldwide. Anything else? Peace to all. Does that one bug you a little bit? Peace to all on whom His favor rests. That one always got me a little. Does He only come to the people that He already likes? Kind of sounds that way, doesn't it? It says, how is it worded? Peace to all men and women on earth who please Him. I want to spend a couple minutes with that verse, but before we do that, it also, the manger, the shepherds, sheep herders, we've got all of these dynamics that just let us know this is for everyone. Everyone. Can I tell you how I read this verse today that I didn't used to read it? I used to read it that the peace was for all men and women on earth who please Him, right? But I had a Greek professor somewhere along the way who shared one thing with me, and this translation is really funny. If you ever look at this, there's one word in here, and it either ends in an S or it doesn't, and that changes everything. It's really goofy. But I just want to show you something. Can you bring up the next slide? We used to use Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Which loosely translated says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, let him labor with his hands." Now, if you see this in the original language, the original Greek, there's no spaces between the words and there's no punctuation. So yeah, that's kind of what it would look like if they used English letters and that was the wording. All right. The Greek professor said, what if we parsed it and had it say this? "Let him who stole steal no longer, let him labor with his hands." And you think, you could do that. Those are the choices that translators have to make. And based on the context, they make that decision. And the actual NIV will pop up there in a second just to let you know what it really says. They make sure we don't do that. And it says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands. So we make sure when we translate it that it can't be translated incorrectly or interpreted incorrectly. I think a similar thing goes on here when I read this verse. Peace on earth to all men and women on whom His favor rests or with whom who please Him. See, I think the who please Him, you need a pause before that. It's not like it's a separation thing like, oh, the good people get peace and the other people, well, don't know what they're getting. But it's peace to all men and women who please Him. Like, y'all already please him. I think there's some of that in that phrase. We are God's craftsmanship. We are his handiwork. He created us, and his pleasure is in us. And so he gives us this gift of peace for all of us because we please him. And we need to, though, then receive that gift. The gift isn't just for a certain group of people, but it's for every single one of us in this room and those outside of these walls. Two things I get out of this and I share with you today. One is that Jesus isn't just for the good people. I'm really glad of that, because I think I'd be out if it wasn't for that. That he comes to those of us who mess up on a regular basis. He comes for those of us who, you know, we know our thoughts. We know ourselves really, really well. We know the mistakes that we make. And Jesus came for us too. It's not just for those who already get it all together. You know, that's been Jesus' message throughout the New Testament. It's not just for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who get to do all the right stuff all the time. But it's for those who mess up as well. And when I look at myself, I know there's places where I'm not the person that God created me to be. I know my doubts. I know my fears. I know my anger, my jealousy. I know where my ego gets in the way. And thank God Jesus didn't come just for people who don't have those problems. But he came for you and for me as well. He came to a teenage girl and a carpenter, shepherds living on the edge of the law, heretics from another faith. He came to the outskirts of town, outside of the inn. The message of Christmas is clearly a message for outsiders, and I don't want you to miss that. It's for you. I don't know what you think of your own life or how much of a mess you think you are, or how far away you think you might be from God. Christmas says, I'll come to a stable to come and get you. I'll come to wherever you are to come and be with you. That's the message that we've been given. The second thing we can learn from this is that we have a gift that's not ours to keep, but one that needs to be shared with absolutely everyone. And it's a gift that we share in so many different ways. Early on in this series, I talked about a book that I really like called Simply Christian by a theologian named N.T. Wright. And he talks about echoes of a voice, that God's voice is just there with us. And you've seen universally that there are these things that are just in us that we seem to know are God at work in our lives. One of them, he says, is this sense that we all have that the world's broken. Do we get that? The world's, it doesn't work the way it should, does it? We have this sense that we were created for Eden and we're going on to heaven, but somewhere in between we live in this broken, messy place. And I think each one of us in this room has a broken place that just breaks our hearts. We have this sense that things aren't right. Do you have one of those? Do you have that place that just gets you? You know, maybe you're watching TV and one of those commercials pops on with the hungry kids, you know, in some faraway land, and you change the channel not because you don't want to do anything about it, but because you really, really want to. Because that's the thing that just breaks you and just hurts you in a way that you can't even begin to fathom. Or you hear about kids in our own area who are going without any gifts this year because their parents have lost jobs. And when we had the tree out there, you wanted to take every ornament off of it and buy them all. Does that break you? Or maybe for you, you hear about a family who has a parent deployed and they won't be around for Christmas, and you just want to be with that family. That's God's voice in your life. Or your heart goes out to women who have made the unfortunate decision to terminate a pregnancy and you still live with grief and doubt and don't know what to do with it. And your heart breaks for them. Or you long to reach out to the one whose life is controlled by an addiction to alcohol or drugs, and you just don't know how to even get there, but you know that's the one that breaks your heart. Or you hear a story in our church about how $10 for a mosquito net can help eradicate malaria, and you want to be a part of something like that. You can't pass a homeless person without your stomach churning inside of you, and you know we just need to do something. Or, and please don't get political on me, but you get to that place where I don't know if our country's doing the right thing with healthcare, and I know everybody's got strong opinions on that, but you know what I do know? There are people who have to make choices every day between their medicine and going to the doctor or caring for their kids. Hey, I don't know the answer, but I know something's wrong. And that bugs me. That one hurts me. What is it for you? What hurts you? Or maybe you saw the fountain and went online and investigated Living Water International, and I really hope that you did. There's some amazing facts about water that I just want to share with you really quickly. Over half of all schools in the world lack safe water and sanitation. And so kids stay home from school, and more than half of the kids that stay home from school happen to be female. Statistics indicate that two-thirds of those without access to safe water live on less than $2 a day. And half of those, roughly the equivalent of the population of the United States, live on less than $1 a day. Hard to imagine. Households spend an average of 660 hours a year collecting water in Uganda. At any given time, half the world's hospital beds are occupied by patients suffering from a water-related disease, and nearly 90% of all diseases in the world are caused by unsafe drinking water. And I just share with you this quote from the United Nations. Clean water and sanitation are among the most powerful preventative medicines for reducing child mortality. And then you hear that 2.5% of what we spend on Christmas in the United States would solve the problem everywhere in the world. Really? 2.5%? We spend that much more every year than is needed to solve this problem. One of the themes from Living Water International is simply this: $1 gives clean water to one person for 1 year. One. And the Advent Conspiracy asks a simple question: can Christmas still change the world? That's what the fountain's about out there. $1. And Christmas can change the world for somebody. To me, this is the message of Christmas. One is that it's for those people that are living out there somewhere who can't get clean water and who live with all of those diseases. It's for those people that break your hearts when that situation arises, when you're reminded of somebody living in a difficult place and God just breaks your heart. It's a reminder that we are called to go and be God's agents to those people. It's about the body of Christ coming together to bring something as a cup of cool water in Jesus' name. We can do it on a grand scale with Living Water International and all of the other stuff that our church is involved in missions. But you can do it in smaller ways too, just by reaching out to a neighbor in need in the name of Jesus. And it's not about just, you know, reading the Bible to them or anything like that. That's a nice piece. But what about babysitting their kids because they got to go to the doctor? Or what about bringing them a meal because life is just so crazy and so hectic? What about just visiting one who is in need? The message of the angels is that this is an event for everyone worldwide. May we continue to share the message of Christmas in big ways and small ways this week and next week and in July. May we be sharing Christmas. Let's pray together. It's so easy, God, to just kind of want to grab onto you and hold you for our own. And just kind of say, this message is for me and it's mine. And in a lot of ways it is. I mean, it has changed us in so many ways. And our lives are not the same because we know this Christmas story. And we have knelt before you and allowed you to work in us and through us and surrendered our lives to you. And so it is our story. But God, remind us that it's not ours alone. But this was an event for everyone worldwide. And that you continue to call us to bring your presence, your justice, your peace to the world around us. To the guy across the street. To the thirsty people across the globe. To people who are lonely and afraid. For those that are addicted and don't know what to do. God, in so many ways we hear you calling. Give us the courage and the strength to follow that whisper that may come to us as a broken heart. To go and be and to share the good news of Christmas. Peace to all men and women who please you. All of this we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.